guys. The food coming soon. Stay tuned. Brother Price on the boards. DRM. I would tell the truth, but you were just here hating. I would lie, but then I know the devil would be waiting. So I guess I rest between lies and the truth. Visualize through a glass of gin and vermouth. Attention span lacking, so close to aloof. Some say they're down, but John Wilkes in the booth. Realness tested, life will have your manhood sequestered. Rap is more than just your conveyance or your vestments. All I want is greatness. You can keep the less than. Honestly, I feel like I'm too late. Hip-hop's heart stop, but my rhymes can't defibrillate. I fear I can't escape the fate like a camp counselor stuck in Crystal Lake.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, welcome to Webstyle Magazine Podcast, episode number 13, A Shining Shoe Phone. I am your host, Eldon Hawks, and I want to first and foremost thank you guys for just taking the time out to sit down, listen to us, whether you're streaming us, whether you're downloading us, whether you just happen upon us by accident. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen. Thank you for visiting our site, WebsterStyleMagazine.com. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Webster Style, on Instagram, Webster Style Mag, Tumblr, Webster Style Mag, YouTube, Webster Style Mag, and on Facebook, Webster Style Magazine. So thank you very much again for your time and your continued support. If you want to reach us, you can reach us at info@WebsterStyleMagazine.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 571-32-STYLE, 571-32-STYLE. I'm going to jump right into the show today because we have a whole lot of great guests and interviews that we were able to procure in the past couple of weeks. First one is, I went to Little Rock, Arkansas a little while ago for a conference, and I ended up meeting Mr. Raymond, who had a little shoe shine set up on the corner there of the street in downtown Little Rock, and I got a shoe shine from him, and it's probably one of the best shoe shines I've ever had in my life. And we were just talking. He was such an interesting guy. I had to interview him. In addition to finding out some of his passions and some of the things that he does here in Little Rock, he also gives us three tips to really taking care of our shoes, because, you know, you may pay $30, $60, $100, $500, $700 for a pair of shoes. They're only as good as how long you keep them up and how well you take care of them. So he gave some really good tips as to how to take care of our shoes so that way we can get the maximum amount of wear out of them. So I'm going to dive right into our interview with Mr. Raymond, and then we're going to come right back.
I'm going to tell you the name of my business.
Okay.
Giving old shoes a new look. It's 501 number.
Okay.
519-9717.
Okay. Mr. Raymond, how long have you been here signing shoes?
I've been here 3 months.
3 months.
At the most. 3 months.
Okay.
Right here at 4th and Rockland.
Okay. Now, how long have you been shining shoes in general?
I've been shining shoes ever since I was about 9 years old. I'm 59.
Oh, wow.
And I've been doing this talent along with my ministry in music. I'm a drummer here in Arkansas.
Okay.
Pick cotton when I was 10, 11, and 12. I started shining preachers and deacons' shoes, and my grandfather encouraged me to do good work, and people's to look for you. Do your best, and people's to come look for you.
Well,
consistently.
My shoes are probably look better than the day I bought them right now. So that's a testament to the fine work that you do, sir. And I greatly appreciate that. Now, without revealing all of your secrets, can you tell us, you know, something we should do about keeping our shoes up and keeping our shoes well?
You know, basically, there's three steps you can take to keep your shoes from cracking or drying. They got a cream called melatonin, neutral. What it does, salicylates, nourish the shoe, and softens and shines at the same time for any color shoe. Melatonin, neutral, cream.
Okay.
Comes in a little jar at any shoe repair store. And I would prefer a person to do that if they don't apply regular polish to color the shoe, maybe.
Okay.
But, that's basically a way to keep your shoes nourished. Make them last longer. and it will keep the level prepared.
Okay. You said there were three steps. What are steps two and three?
Step two and three. Person should put a t-shirt in a little water and sprinkle. And they apply the polish on.
Okay.
Or get a brush and brush. Apply the polish in with a rag and brush the shoe. Down in the pores of the shoe. That'll help keep the shoe loose.
Okay.
And soften. But if they never apply polish on it, the shoe will crack. And what it does, graphite sews in a shoe. Causes it to start cracking.
Okay.
But you must get a shoe treated. That's what you call treated in salad soap or whatever. Mink oil. There's three things you can do. Salad soap, mink oil, and you're going to apply polish.
Okay.
To preserve. Use some kind of polish in the level. Preserve it, that's what I call it. Just like salt and pepper and eggs, you know. Right. Leather has to be treated.
I understand. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But I learned that spit shines and what they call burning polish and all that, all the extra. I call it detail.
Okay.
All that's extra. But at least a person should use those three steps. I've learned that some people's polish shoes, I shine.
I understand.
Max, I later wax. I learned that all of my creative efforts, I didn't get youth and experience at the same time. So I implemented my idea. My grandfather encouraged me when I went to church to shine his shoes and mine. And I kept it up consistently. That's where I am today.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started from a little shot, and I wind up now. I got a shoe stand, shoe treat. I've had one brush for 28 years. My brother gave me before he died. And he told me you better learn how to shine shoes. Nobody gonna give you all the time. You gotta use an idea, something that you like. But my grandfather told me, you do good work, people will look for you. The customers come. You don't chase business.
Very
this
true.
Business, they come and find you. Yep, that's about it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Raymond. I hope you enjoyed that segment. It was a really great pleasure meeting Mr. Raymond. It's one of those chance meetings where, you know, you are, in a sense, blessed by the experience. It was really nice meeting him, and I learned a lot, and I hope you guys were able to learn a little bit as well based on his many years of experience in life, but also in how to take care of shoes. Next up, we sat down for an interview at Baltimore Comic Con. Probably by the time you hear this, it'll probably be a week since it happened, but at Baltimore Comic Con, and we were able to sit down with Chris Wanamaker, as a DC area native. He is the founder, or one of the founders, of the DC Anime Club. And we sat down and talked with him about cosplay, how he got into it, how he started the DC Anime Club, which is a nonprofit in DC. So they don't just talk about and watch anime, they're also a nonprofit out there doing good works in the community. And we talk about his cosplay style and his personal style outside of cosplay. So sit back, relax, and enjoy, and then we'll be back. And we're here with Chris Wanamaker from the DC Anime Club. How you doing, Chris?
All right, yourself?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. How are you enjoying the convention thus far?
I'm overwhelmed by the dealer's room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite extensive.
Yeah.
It will certainly take all of your money very fast.
Yeah.
Now, how'd you get into cosplay?
Basically, I set an example for my fellow members, and I just said, okay, we're going to do something at the Smithsonian Free Art Gallery with the folks of the Smithsonian Free Art Gallery and Octocorp, the people who run Otakon. And basically, I at first just had like a Chinese outfit with a Nintendo hat on, and in order to like at least attempt to cosplay. But as time went on, I started my signature cosplay, which a lot of people know me as Mario from Super Mario Brothers. And from there, I started like doing more costumes, just like piecing it together. I haven't learned how to sew or stitch yet, but and I had this interesting conversation about like sewing and stitching cosplay versus actually piecing your cosplay together. And there's really nothing wrong with like piecing your cosplay together. At first, I was like a little down about like the fact that I don't stitch or sew my costumes, but I actually just piece my stuff together. But it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, as long as you embody the character and you're having a good time, you are cosplaying. So yeah, that's what kind of got me into cosplay. I just like it. And what I love the most is like becoming the character, and little kids will walk up to me and say, "Hey, Mario, it's you, yay." And I wave back to them, and their mothers and fathers like actually have me like take a picture with them and whatnot. Yeah, so that's what I like about cosplay, you know, just becoming that character. So the kid would like actually enjoys meeting their character face to face and whatnot. Or whether it's Mario or my Wolverine cosplay or my Ben 10 cosplay. You know, that I know a lot of kids like for example, when I was going to heading home from this convention called T-Mode, some kids actually recognized me as Ben 10, and they were like pointing at me like, "Hey, Ben 10, turn into a monster." Well, I mean, he turns into aliens, but they're like, "Turn into an alien, turn into a monster." And I was like, "No, not today." And I let them play with my Omnitrix toys, you know, that I got from Target or Toys R Us. I got like the Omnitrix, Ultimatrix, and the new Omnitrix from Omniverse. So I liked doing the, those figures and whatnot, those versions of the Ben 10 and whatnot. I like having two of them, even though he's like really supposed to just have like just one, but right. I'm like, upgrade, you know? Right. You know, just like the character upgrade in the show, Ben 10.
Okay. Now today I see you're dressed as Wolverine. Great outfit, by the way.
Thank you.
Now outside of cosplay, what's your own personal style like?
My own personal style, I'm just regular guy. I just, most of the time, I'm like wearing my work uniform because I'm like, I'm rushing off to work. But jeans, t-shirt, stuff like that, or if I'm off to a job interview, just shirt and tie.
Okay.
No, keep it simple.
Okay, I like that, keeping it simple. Now, tell us a little bit about DC and DC Anime Club.
DC Anime Club is a non-for-profit organization whose purpose is to educate people about East Asian culture through Japanese animation and Japanese comics. Although we don't limit ourselves to just anime and comics and Japanese comics, but we try to do stuff that's in other fandoms, since the fandoms are slowly kind of merging together in some way. I mean, you see some video games based upon anime, you have some comic books based upon anime and whatnot. You have some anime versions of some of these characters, like Madhouse. They right. actually did anime versions of Blade, X-Men, Wolverine, and Iron Man.
Right.
In fact, the most recent one I think was Iron Man, Rise of the Technovores. We actually watched that at the club.
Okay.
And it was awesome. I mean, I recommend it, but I mean, it's Iron Man and mechas and anime. It just goes hand in hand.
Yeah, so, I agree.
So yeah, I mean, we try to like do stuff that within other fandoms and whatnot to bring the DC Anime Club. But yeah, we've been around for like about 10 years. We celebrate our 10th anniversary. And we're not just like a club. We are a not-for-profit organization. We actually are out in the community, where there are times when schools would contact us and say, "Hey, you know, can DC Anime Club do a presentation about anime or cosplay and whatnot?" We even worked with like 15 to 20 different conventions. We do cross promotion with like many different conventions, where we teach, where we actually like promote the conventions and whatnot via our marketing department. We do flyers at every anime, video game, and comic book store. We litter them with flyers and whatnot. Or we do like a press release telling people about like what is this convention, the newest convention that's happening and coming out, etc. And we always have like at least a table, or at least an ad in a program book for the convention. And next year we hope to actually run like a panel about how to run an anime club, or a fan club rather, at in your local area, how to like spread that love of Japanese animation in your local area. So yeah, I mean, that's not even like half of it. We have like some more plans and whatnot. Hopefully we can get like another shoujo day out, where we actually do a day where we show nothing but girls anime. So hopefully we can like pull that off again, because we did it before and it was very successful. And in order to like attract girls, more females, to the club.
What kind of anime is considered, I guess, girls anime?
Let's see, stuff like Sailor Moon, though that was done by a shonen company known as Toy Animation. Yeah. What else? Honey Yoridongo.
Okay.
Better known as Boy's Flowers or Marmalade Boy.
Okay, I'm familiar. Okay.
Yeah. So just those examples.
Okay. Well, Chris, thank you very much. Sorry for taking you away from your lovely wife for a few minutes. I hope she doesn't mind. But appreciate it.
Rob.
Thank you.
And that was Chris Wanamaker of the DC Anime Club. If you want to find out more about the DC Anime Club, you can find the notes or the final links in the show notes down below, or however you're seeing this, the show notes will be accessible to you. I want to thank again Mrs. Wanamaker. When I rolled up on Chris and his wife at Baltimore Comic Con, they were in the midst of lunch. So again, I want to thank you, Mrs. Wanamaker, for allowing me to bother and take your husband for a few minutes. I greatly appreciate it. So we've run through a couple of different subjects so far on this podcast. We have touched on the style portion with Mr. Raymond. We've talked on more of the geek / culture portion and the charity portion, talking with Chris Wanamaker from DC Anime Club. Now we're going to get into the tech side of things, talking to Will Mapp of Biz Tech Insider and Studio Codeworks. Talking about the new iPhone announcement, getting his both professional take as an Apple developer and also just a your average consumer techie take on what Apple talked about on as of this recording today, but by the time you hear it, maybe a day or two later. But let's listen to Will, see what he has to say, and let us know what you think. Now, hey, Will, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's up, man?
It's been a long day, as we were talking before, a long day for both of us. A lot of things still need to get done. But as you know, Apple had a press conference today and they announced, what, two new iPhones, the 5S and the 5C. And I wanted to get your expert opinion on what happened today.
All right, so I'm just going to start off right now, and I'm going to address all the fanboys, because I've been going back and forth with fanboys since the press conference ended. And it's this. Y'all go through the same gyrations every 6 to 8 months. You know how Apple's release schedule is, but no matter what they release, it's never enough, right? And so last year this time, you got the 5. And so as typical with Apple, you get a major and a minor release. So there was going to be no iPhone 6 today. I don't understand why people get all up in arms about there's no iPhone 6. So tell me when you've seen Apple release a major revision immediately after a major revision. You have the 3G, 3GS, 4, 4F, 5, and so you know you're going to get a 5S. So fanboys, y'all really got to chill out. And then number two, you know, Apple released the 5C, which you got to give Apple credit. You know, I never thought I'd be all up in arms about a plastic phone, but Apple knows how to pull it off. The 5C is great, so we can definitely talk a lot about that tonight. And so the fanboys, y'all need to chill out. Apple has actually released a device that has very solid features, and so just calm down, upgrade your phone, or wait for the 6 to stop blessing.
I got you. Now, I got a question, though, about the 5C, because one of the things that they talked about before the release was that it was supposed to be this cheap iPhone, but it's really not cheap. It's only a little bit less than the 5C, excuse me, the 5S, and now they bumped the 4S down to free on contract.
I guess
I personally, as you know, I see how mofos are going. And you see things like the Nexus 4, which came out, and that was what $250, it was under $300 unlocked, and that was a pretty good phone. You see things like the Nokia 510, which, you know, again, both of those phones, mind you, 510 is $100 without a contract or prepaid or whatever, unlocked, no matter where you get it. So you have quality cell phones, smartphones that have features that in many ways, well, maybe not camera-wise, but as far as hardware architecture, as far as software, are very much comparative to, or comparable, I should say, to the iPhone. I guess I'm like, what's the point of a 5C if you have a 4S? Okay, good.
Great point. I guess he made some really good points. So you made some really good points. And so here's the way I see it. The Apple, you will never, well, I'll take that back. It is very unlikely that you will see a cheap iPhone or smartphone come out of the Apple camp. It's very highly, highly unlikely. And so for Apple to release a version one product at $100, that's actually a deal for them. And you also have to keep in mind, if you look at the 5C's feature comparison, you know, compared to the other smartphones that you listed, it still is in a category of iPhone 5, 5S, Nokia 900 series, and Galaxy GS3, GS3 and a half series device, an HTC One Mini class device. I mean, it's a dual core processor, has an 8 megapixel camera, which, you know, I have beef with, and we can talk about that later. But it still is an upper class phone in a cheaper skin. And I think Apple did the smart thing of coming out with a less expensive price phone, but not a cheap phone. Because you got to remember, when you buy an Apple product, you're buying a Porsche, Lexus, you know, class product. You know, you're not buying, you know, a Toyota, you know, Nissan class product. You know, that's just the way that they market themselves as a company. And so for Apple to come out and sell a really, really cheap phone on the market would actually damage their brand long term. And so I know some people out there are actually arguing, you know, selling, you know, a polycarb shell phone for Apple is a step outside of their brand as a premium electronics device seller.
Okay. Now, that's a very good valid point.
Yeah, so I mean, and the thing is, like, I will always complain about the iPhone camera. I mean, that's just caveat, get it out of the way. Especially with the Nokia 1020 and their 41 megapixel variable size CCD, you know, I will always complain about the iPhone's camera. But on the other front, you know, electronics wise and processor wise, it still is the 5C. Is still a competitively spec'd piece of hardware.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about the I forget what it's called, but the fingerprint recognition for the 5S?
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to the fanboys again. All right. So immediately after the announcement, on my text messaging system on my phone, I got people that were complaining about there wasn't enough in the iPhone 5S and they're considering jumping ship. And so we've already talked about the update schedule, but I have to admit, you know, Apple today has announced a phone that will soon be released with a 64-bit processor. Now, I write has 64-bit processors, you know, full desktop computers have 64-bit processors. And for Apple to release a phone, the first phone of its kind, with a dual-core 64-bit processor, I mean, that's nothing to shake a stick at. I mean, that's extraordinarily powerful. The dual-core and co-processor hotness in the Moto X, they're still running 32-bit. The HTC One and GS4 are still, you know, traditional 32-bit processors, so now they're going to have to compete on a hardware level with the next iPhone and the current iPhone for their next device. And so it's hard for me to sit up here and say that Apple isn't innovating when they release that processor. And then on top of that, you know, the kicker is this. I barely plugged my iPhone 5 in, and they're releasing a much more powerful processor that's two times the speed, 100 million more transistors on the silicon, and it's still going to get 10 hours of talk time and 10 hours of web browsing time over LTE, not counting Facebook and Apple, but 10 hours of just time. I mean, you got to give them credit, you know, pure, plain, and simple, just from a hardware spec perspective. I mean, I know that's a geeky thing. I know people don't really understand the differences between 32 and 64 bit, but from at a technical level, to have that in a smartphone is crazy. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, when I saw that it was 64 bits, I was like, okay, now that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean,
that's really impressive just to what you can do with that from a developer standpoint. That's going to be really good for guys like you.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, just to be geeked out. I mean, they showed clips of Infinity Blade 3 on the device. People are beefing over the Xbox One and Sony PS4 over the summer about which one is better. As far as a gaming device on the go, I mean, this is arguably the most powerful platform for mobile gaming right now. You know, despite whatever handhelds on the market by the big guys, I mean, this is it. I mean, the iPhone is it.
True.
You know, there's all kinds of ridiculous, you know, software development opportunities here. And then on top of that, you know, to steer away from hardware just for a second, I tweeted on the internet during the actual presentation or conference that, you know, Apple has released their entire iWork suite for free for all new devices.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah, and so that's a direct call out. I mean, they called Microsoft out. You know, look, you know, where's Office for iDevices now? They called them out and they're like, you know, here's our stuff, and we're giving it away for free. And so I know lots of people, I mean, too many people, I don't think, you know, iPads and iDevices are great production devices yet, but I know too many people that use Numbers and Keynote to do quick, fast, and dirty presentations. I mean, this is a real big knock in Microsoft's direction, especially when we know computing is leaning towards mobile every single day.
I understand. And especially even though you have some forms of Office available, it still has to be tied to Office 365 account, so you have to be paying for it already in order to even use it effectively, I should say, outside of actually using the web and using the free version.
Absolutely, man. I mean, and the thing is, Microsoft for a while has done, you know, embrace and extend. And this is one area where they haven't really followed their philosophy of taking their technologies, embracing them on another platform, and extending that platform with their products. And, you know, I think Microsoft still has great products. But this is definitely a blow, a blow in the direction of Office users and other, you know, especially like, you know, Office worker consumption users. It's a blow in that direction, man, as far as eyeballs.
Gotcha. Now, what about the fingerprint sensor? How practical is that? Because when I saw that, you know, we heard all the rumors. Those of us that read those sort of blogs and everything, we heard all the rumors, mm-hmm. And I always thought, okay, that's nice, but practically, like, is it really something that's going to be useful to consumers?
It took me a while to think about this. You know, I actually did digest it because the first thing I tweeted when they actually confirmed the fingerprint scanner is whether or not if I'm on Verizon's network, my scanner's going to Verizon, Apple, and the NSA. And so from a practical standpoint, I actually think it is going to be beneficial. One of the small nuggets that was thrown out there that really wasn't elaborated on is that you will be able to use that fingerprint scanner to make purchases via iTunes. And so I think that's extraordinarily powerful. When, like, for instance, you know, we have iPads, and my daughters play all these stupid games, and I may leave my iTunes account logged in, I've gotten crazy charges for my daughters buying, you know, ridiculous characters from these stupid games. And so one of the things that could alleviate that is tying your iTunes account to your fingerprint and actually confirming the purchase using your fingerprint. I think that is extraordinarily powerful. And from, you know, a mobile commerce perspective, and this is where, you know, the fanboys don't think Apple is innovating. This is really innovative to think about this. You know, as we get farther and farther into mobile, and as we get, you know, Zappos, being able to buy shoes from Zappos, being able to buy clothes from Gap, being able to buy clothes from Jack Threads directly on your mobile device in these apps, there's always going to be this, you know, how do I protect my purchase information, how do I protect my payment information? And so by using a biometric scanner to actually make the confirmation, you know, I can see apps like PayPal tying into that capability and doing a match on the device to verify that that William Matt's finger is scanning this and confirming this purchase. I mean, this is another farther way of making mobile commerce as secure and as protective as we're accustomed to as purchasing products online. I think this is very innovative, and I think, you know, mobile commerce gets a big win in that direction. I think it's actually really great. We write Snapperific. It's our app, and people can make purchases directly from the phone. And so, you know, someone can use their PayPal ID, you know, an iPhone 5S, confirm the payment with their fingertip, and they're not necessarily having to enter in a password or additional information. Thereby tying the purchase directly to them, you know, they don't have the whole, you know, is this storing my information on the device? Is my device protected? What happens when I lose my device? You know, those questions now can go out the window because of the biometric scan.
Okay. See, that's why I ask you these questions. I look at it, I'm like, what do you need a fingerprint scanner for? But I'm glad you really broke it down for myself and the listeners to really look at all of the possible ramifications of this new added feature. So overall, what do you think of the Apple press conference and what they released?
I think the 5S is a winner. You know, people are always going to want something else. Apple fanboys are really, really, you know, hard to please. You know, at one moment on a major release, it's the best thing since sliced bread, and then when they get the half increment update, they're all pissed off. But, you know, Apple released, in my mind, the most powerful smartphone on the market. I mean, the processor alone, you know, puts it over the tier over everything else. It comes with a motion sensor as a processor built in. And so for, like, I wear a Fitbit Flex 24 hours a day that monitors my activity, monitors my sleep, gives me all this data. And now with the next iPhone, they're building that capability into the device. And so I would imagine you'll see a usage statistic in addition to minutes and hours online of how many miles you've walked since you've owned your iPhone 5S. I think something like that is big because we're seeing more wearable computers enter the marketplace, whether they're embedded in phones, embedded on a wrist like the Flex is. I think that's really big. Other things like the fingerprint sensor for mobile checkout, and then when you factor in things like AirDrop, which Apple talks nothing about, I think that the iPhone 5S is a very solid device. I think it's great for developers. I think it's definitely great for game developers. I mean, they're going to love 64-bit processing. They'll be able to shade everything on the planet with a 64-bit processor. And then for the average user, if you have a 5, you might not be ready for an upgrade. You may want it for the iBling champagne back iPhone 5S. But if you have a 4S, there's no reason why you shouldn't want to upgrade now. If you have a 4S, you've been upgrading at the minor revision anyway, obviously, because you're on contract more than likely. And so if you have a 4S, go ahead and get the 5S. You'll be more than pleased. You'll see a 2-time speed increase. Actually, 4 times, because the 5S is twice the speed of the 5. So you're going to definitely get a performance gain from there. I think it's a solid device. So the 5C, I think if for people that want to give our hotness for Christmas this season, the 5C is a perfect inexpensive device for that. At $100, you're with the cool kids. You're not the coolest kid in the block, but you're getting a marquee cell phone that's easily competitive with, you know, the GS3 line. The GS4 may be a stretch for the 5C, but definitely the GS3, Nokia 900 series, not the 1020, barely with the HTC One. And so you'll have a very attractive phone that's going to run the latest operating system, and it's going to have a pretty good camera in it too. I take a lot of pictures with my iPhone, and having, you know, an f-stop 2.2 lens on a camera is sick. Like, the only other people that have, like, super camera phones is Nokia right now. And they have the best one on the market right now. But to have an F2.2, I mean, people buy DSLRs that don't have that f-stop on their camera. And so you have to be impressed with that feature.
Gotcha. Now, one quick question before I let you go, because Nokia's come up a couple of times in our conversation. We had big news last week about Microsoft acquiring most of Nokia. How do you see that purchase?
Oh, man. That's so bittersweet. Last week, I actually met Microsoft last week. I met some members of the first RC team last week. And I really like Microsoft. I really like their products. I am really mixed, and here's why, Alden. Microsoft cannot sell their own products. There, I said it. I've said it. There you go. They just can't sell and market their own stuff. The Surface RT, I'm going to talk about RT for a little bit. I know it's iPhone, and you just asked a Nokia question about phones and stuff, but the RT is such a great device.
Can I stop you there? Yes. Totally agree with you. I don't understand why it gets such a bad rap. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
It gets a bad rap because Microsoft is marketing itself. I mean, it is really a fantastic device. It really is. And, you know, according to what they told me, is that they're going to stand behind the product, they're going to fully support it, and they're embracing the technology.
As they should.
That is good, but see, here's the thing. Nokia has a ton of IP. They have a ton of IP, and Microsoft really could go gangbusters and really make a real go at Android and Apple as far as mobile devices, as far as mobile phones. But they shouldn't sell it. They shouldn't market it. They need to work with someone else. I mean, pure, plain, and simple. It's so sad because I think Windows Phone and the UI that they're no longer calling Metro is 21st century, absolutely. In many ways, I think it's way more visionary than what we see on iOS 7 and 4.3.3 Android. But they're too nerdy. They're way too nerdy. They're way too geeky. They need to work with someone else. That's the thing. I think they're going to get some great intellectual property. It's a win for Nokia, absolutely. But I just don't know. And they need to invent themselves. I mean, here's the history, right? Before the turn of the century, Microsoft released Web TV. You know, before the turn of the 21st century. Now we have Apple TV. Now we have Google TV. We have Chromecast and all this stuff. And Microsoft came up with that crap over a decade ago, right? Early 21st century, Microsoft released Pocket PC to worldwide acclaim. I had a Pocket PC and I thought it was great.
You know, I did.
You know, they couldn't pull that off, you know. And now you have Apple and Android, you know, going gangbusters on the same concept. They released Tablet PC shortly after that. And then we all know what happened with the iPad and now with Android tablet. And so, you know, Microsoft is going to come out with some gangster stuff out of this Nokia deal. They came up with, you know, the Metro UI, which I fully expect Apple and Android or someone else to embrace a couple years from now and make it better. And so it's just hard for me to, it's hard for me to sit up here and say, yay, this is great, when I know what's going to happen.
I understand. I actually I talked with the guys from Glance and Go Radio for their next podcast last week, right after it happened last Wednesday, and I brought up RT, and I'll give you the short and sweet of what I said. I said people are stupid because people go in and they say it doesn't run old apps or old programs. But when you really think about it, especially I have my tablet upgraded to Windows 8. Unless it's something like this, or I'm editing podcasts, or even in this case, going to the office, I don't go to the desktop that often unless I'm doing some heavy duty stuff. And the RT is really positioned for you to do light computing and browsing and things like that. And I don't understand why people are like, oh, it doesn't. And then all the reviewers and whatnot trash it because it because of the desktop. I'm thinking, I don't understand. It's the same thing with Windows Phone. I have a Windows Phone. Every time someone sees it, they're like, oh man, your phone looks nice. Oh, that looks sweet. Blah, 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 blah. Then they go back to the Android phone.
Right. Right. It's the way they shouldn't be selling this stuff, man. And the thing is now is that, I don't know if you can read any of the murmurs with Windows 8.1. They're bringing Windows 8.1 is going to be the super duper touch desktop OS.
Yep, I can't wait.
It's going to be super duper touch desktop, so you'll be able to move between the two without those hiccups that they had in Windows 8 and people trying to use them on tablets. And so this thing is actually going to be super, super powerful. But again, you know, it's Microsoft, you know, they're going to try to push this thing off as Android app replacement, you know, and I don't think they're going to pull that off. You know, it's really sad, and they're like the big innovators in this space right now. People just don't know it. You know, Android and Apple get a lot of the press and a lot of the fanfare, but Microsoft is really pushing the envelope, and I think people really need to give them a serious look. Like I said, I think the RT is great. You know, I spent a hardcore weekend with an RT, and I just thought it just blew my iPad away. But you know, it's getting the masses to accept that, and they have really cool commercials, but no one really likes them.
That's true.
Oh man. Yeah. So my thing is, Apple's going to go gangbusters again, you know, and it's going to be one of those things where this Christmas, people are going to get 5Cs for Christmas. Like high school kids and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
They're going to get 5Cs for Christmas. I fully expect that. That's going to be the it gift this year. And so I fully expect Apple's going to go gangbusters. They're going to break some records with their numbers. Revenues have been flat up until this point, but after the announcement, they always take off again. It's still not going to be enough for Wall Street estimates, you know. But in the end, it's going to be Tim Cook and Phil Schiffer and them laughing to the bank. And, you know, we'll have an iPhone 6 next year that hopefully has edge-to-edge screen capabilities. If I can list what the fanboys wanted, this is what they told me to do. Edge-to-edge screen, so people basically want an Android tablet big-ass phone with an iPhone, and I don't think Apple's going to do that because it goes against their styling guidelines. The camera, you know, people want a bigger camera. I want a bigger camera, too, and it didn't really release how many megapixels the thing has. And then what I would say, gimmicky Android features like NFC, which a lot of people don't use, and then you know, a lot of small businesses can support anyway, but they can support, you know how Starbucks has the visual pay? You can hold your phone screen up to the thing. That's a much better solution for mobile pay right now with where everyone is in technology. And then the phone sex thing that the GS series of phones have, where you tap the phone, but it doesn't make sense in a mobile world because I probably still be using air networks to communicate, but I got to walk up to you to have phone sex. To tap my contact or tap to share a photo or something to you. That just doesn't make any sense to me. And those were the things that people want, you know, those gimmicky type things. And I was like, you know, this is Apple. You know, Apple's not going to be in the phone sex. You know, it doesn't make any sense for Apple. And though the swipey unlock thing and the facial unlock, I mean, those are features that are nice. You know, they're very nice. Are they practical? No. But can a bunch of nerds go around and show, look, it unlocks with my face? Yeah, it looks great for that. But from a practical standpoint, it doesn't really make any sense. It's just something that says that it's nice.
Got you. I understand. Well, we're going to wrap this up with you, Will. But before that, we were going to talk about smartwatches, but you did a really great I guess, podcast on the Galaxy Gear.
The Galaxy Gear. I think Samsung Mobile US stopped following me after I made that podcast.
Hey, I feel you, but tell everybody where they can catch your podcast and your website so they can go and hear your take on it.
All right. You can look me up. I'm the Biz Tech Insider on Podomatic. So you can look me up there, or you can go to innovationisin.me and check out the podcast. We are releasing an app on Android, of all things. I can't believe I just said that. We're releasing the sync on Android. We've been working on it, trying to polish it and give it that nice 10% finish on it. And so that should be out, I would say, in the next week at the latest. I know I can make promises, but you can check us out there. Look us up in Android. Look us up at innovationisin.me. And check out Biz Tech Insider on Podomatic and iTunes, too. If you have iTunes, you can search on the sync and find us on iTunes.
Okay. Thanks, Will. Appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Thanks, though. And I love doing this. I need to have you on my podcast.
Definitely.
We need to talk. You know what we need to do? We need to talk about wearable but stylish tech. You know?
We can definitely do that.
I have this Fitbit Flex, and I wear it all the time. And what would be nice is to have some really nice, sleek, you know, wearable technology that go well with being dressed up.
We can definitely do that.
Cool.
I will. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Have a great one.
You too. Wow, this has been a very informative and intense podcast. I hope that everyone out there in listener land has enjoyed today's podcast. Special thanks to Mr. Raymond for taking his time out to talk with us, Chris Wanamaker from the DC Anime Club, and also the enigmatic William Mapp for sitting down with us and talking with us about all things Apple and tech. Be sure to find us again at WebsterStyleMagazine.com. Email us your comments, your criticisms, your questions at info@WebsterStyleMagazine.com, or give us a call at 571-32-STYLE. That's 571-32-STYLE. Until the next time, I'm your host, Eldon. Remember, be stylish, but most of all, be you.
Guys, the food coming soon, stay tuned. Brother Price on the boards, DRM. I would tell the truth, but you would just hear hating. I would lie, but then I know the devil would be waiting. So I guess I rest between lies and the truth. Visualize through a glass of gin and vermouth. Attention span lacking, so close to aloof. Some say they're down, but John Wilkes in the booth. Realness tested, life will have your manhood sequestered. Rap is more than just your conveyance or your vestments. All I want is greatness. You can keep the less than. Honestly, I feel like I'm too late. Hip-hop's heart stop, but my rhymes can't defibrillate. I fear I can't escape the fate like a camp counselor stuck in Crystal Lake.